our lives should look different. Our behavior should change, our speech, the way we carry ourselves, the things that we do and don't do. I have been spending the summer helping my daughter prepare for first grade, especially math. And as we've been working through math, we're already getting to fractions. Can you believe it? And I don't remember a lot about fractions, but what I do remember is, you know what? There's a fine line between a numerator and a denominator. In case you forgot. Anyway, welcome to episode 227, everyone. If this is your first time listening, we start every episode with a dad joke. Hope you enjoyed it and it brought you some joy today, a little chuckle, perhaps. But if it is your first time listening, we would also love for you to rate and review this podcast because that's how other people find it. Otherwise, your personal recommendation is a very high compliment. In fact, the highest compliment you could pay to me in this podcast is to recommend it to your family and friends. And you know the best way to do that is to go to our website, mannafoodforthought.com or mannaff.com. And you can find all the ways on our contact page and our social media logos on how to get in contact with us and recommend this, share it to other people. All of our content is there. And while you're there, click on the subscribe button on the homepage and you can sign up for our weekly psalm reflection for free. And you can get that psalm reflection for you in your inbox every Wednesday. And then if you feel so inclined, you can click on the give button and you can become a financial patron to this podcast for as little as $1 a month. And patrons get perks and access to exclusive content. And we're so grateful for all of our patrons and all the ways you support this podcast. Our listeners, new and returning, great to be with you all. Let's get into our joy, junk, and Jesus. My joy is that this past weekend was my 11-year wedding anniversary with my beautiful bride, Erica. And we had a wonderful day together on Saturday. And then on Sunday, I had a beautiful day at Mass and got to come home early and just, we had an incredibly productive day. I got so many things done. It was just really a gift, to be able to finally, like, there was a lot of things lingering, household stuff that needed to get done, stuff with the kids, and it just all, like, happened. So it was great. My junk is that I have a writing project that is due in 2 weeks and it's probably about 40 pages and, I'm on page one. And not for lack of trying, I got an extension on this because I was going to be gone for most of the month that the writing would normally take place in. But getting back and getting settled and then, you know, getting the kids ready for school and all these other things that have been going on, I have not had like a free moment to work on this. It's been really difficult to find time to prioritize it. So I finally feel like this week, hopefully that's going to get done. So please pray for me that I can devote a significant amount of time to doing this. And getting that off my plate, and pray for me to have the sense to start saying no to writing projects. I'm good at them, but I'm not motivated to do them when I have them, and it makes it very difficult and stressful. My Jesus moment was, I mean, there were a lot of joyful moments with my family this week, but as you know, if you listened to last week's podcast, we had to put my cat down last week, 19-year-old cat, and it was really, you know, leading up to it, I didn't really know what to expect, like how the cat was going to respond and all of that, but ended up being incredibly peaceful and calm and very beautiful. And it was just like, it was clear this was the thing that needed to happen and she was ready. And yeah, and there's been a lot of relief in our house because of that. And, you know, there is still that adjustment, you know, forgetting that she's not around anymore and things like that. But, the Lord has really been helping us through that, I think, and help that be a really calm situation. So, yeah, would love to hear what's going on with you. And let's get into our podcast episode for the 20th Sunday in Ordinary Time this Sunday. We always look at the second reading, which is from, continues to be from, St. Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. So Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. So, again, Ephesus in modern-day Turkey, then one of the churches of Asia Minor, where Paul spent some time. There was some difficulties with idolatry, especially the idols to Artemis, and Paul kind of rooted that out, and he ended up getting driven out of Ephesus, people threatening his life. And so he did not spend a lot of time there, but he did help kind of convert a few people, and that led to a church community there. And then when they had issues, Paul would hear about them or they would write to Paul and he would write them on how to fix those things. And so This is a section from Ephesians on basically their behavior and how to live apart from the rest of the world, continuing kind of from Ephesians chapter 4, the theme of like putting away the old self and putting on the new. This is more about, okay, how do you do that? How do you live? So Ephesians chapter 5, verses 5 through 20, Paul writes, "Brothers and sisters, watch carefully how you live, not as foolish persons, but as wise, making the most of the opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not continue in ignorance, but try to understand what is the will of the Lord. And do not get drunk on wine, in which lies debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and playing to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks always and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, I love this line, watch carefully how you live. Because I think we forget often that we are perhaps the only representative of Catholicism that some people may ever experience. Maybe the only representative of faith or God or religion. And how we act and how we behave can often reflect on their opinion of what it means to be a Christian. And so if we're calling ourselves Christians, if we're baptized and we say those things, we go to Bible studies, but on the weekends, we're partying, we're doing things we're not supposed to be doing. I mean, and partying's not bad. What I mean is the connotation of partying to the degree that you're participating in some type of sinful behavior. Doing those things and people see that, they're going to think that, you know, Christianity is full of hypocrites, or Christianity doesn't really demand a lot of you, or this is even okay for Christians to do. And that is something that we will be held accountable for. We'll be held accountable for the way in which we've represented the faith to others. And so I think it's really important to ask questions like, how do others perceive me? Now, this shouldn't get us into the realm of like, well, I need to worry about what other people think, because, you know, that's a recipe for a miserable life. But I do think we should still care about the perception that we're putting out there and what our intention is. Like being intentional in the things that we do and say and the way that other people could potentially perceive us. Now, people who want to have a negative opinion of us, they will find a way to negatively perceive everything that we're doing. And so we can't be concerned about that. We can't be concerned with pleasing other people. That's not our job either. But I think we need to be concerned with the responsibility we have to share the gospel with others by word and action. And action begins by simply reflecting on the actions of our own life and how they're being perceived by others. You know, this line in here where it says, the days are evil, you know, and doing what everyone else in the world does is going to lead you down a path of destruction. We know that. That's what Paul means here by the days are evil. And so I think we really need to bring to prayer, like, how would I like to be remembered? How would I like to be perceived and by others? And what would I like to be known for? And not to fall into the trap of just faking that and putting on a mask like that's our reality, but actively working toward that type of person. And so, again, it's not to try and be like everyone else. It's not to try and please everyone. Those are recipes for miserable lives. But living in the Spirit. And what I really like in this is what Paul says. He says, do not get drunk on wine in which lies debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And I think it's so interesting that he pairs like bad drunkenness with almost the good drunkenness of the Holy Spirit. It's almost like he's telling the church in Ephesus, like, don't get drunk on wine, but get drunk on the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, when someone drinks too much, like, it's obvious. The belligerence is obvious. It kind of exudes from them and their behavior changes. And the opposite should be happening to us when we are drunk on the Spirit. Like, but there should be like a parallelism there. Like, we're not falling into debauchery. We're doing something opposite. But there's a parallel there. Like, there should be a belligerence about our joy. There should be a belligerence about our love for the Lord. It should flow out of us. It should be obvious to those who see. It should affect everything we're saying and doing. This is what happens on Pentecost. You may think this is kind of a wild idea, but this is what happens at Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit descends on the 12 apostles, they start speaking in other languages. It says in verse 12, all were astounded and bewildered and said to one another, what does this mean? But others said, scoffing, they have had too much new wine. But then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and proclaimed to them, "You who are Jews, indeed all of you staying in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to my words. These people are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning," which I think is hilarious. But he's acknowledging, like, their perception is that they're so belligerent and different and so altered in their behavior, the only thing that they can think of to describe this is drunkenness, because they have not yet been exposed to the sober intoxication of the Spirit. One of my favorite books on the Holy Spirit by Raniero Cantalamessa, one of the papal preachers for many years, is called Sober Intoxication of the Spirit. It speaks to this reality that it's obvious when people are drunk, they cannot fake it or hide it, but the result is they'll feel sick or drained. But it should also be obvious when people are Spirit-filled to the degree they can also not fake it or hide it. But instead of feeling sick and drained, we feel alive and energized. This is what we're being invited into. This is what the Holy Spirit can and should be doing in our lives. And if we're holding that Spirit back, it could be a sign that we care too much about the world. It could be a sign that we have too many attachments to sins, too many attachments to other people's opinions of us, too many attachments to our own pride and idea of our self-image. Because this is how Scripture talks about it. This is what is meant to be happening. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, "For in one Spirit they were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free persons, all were given to drink of one Spirit." All were given to drink of one Spirit. And earlier in 1 Corinthians, Paul is talking about the Hebrews when they were wandering in the desert and following Moses. He says, "All ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from a spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was the Christ." He's making this analogy that the spiritual drink of the Old Testament, that rock was Christ, and there is a new, later on as he develops in 1 Corinthians, a new spirit to drink from. And that's where we have the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. To each person is given that to some degree. And we read about the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. This, to St. Paul, was the best analogy that he could use, was drunkenness, but a baptized version of it to convey the obvious external consequences of consuming the Spirit, of receiving the Spirit and being filled by the Holy Spirit. It should completely change our behavior. Again, this is not for our own attention or for our own glory, but it's for the Lord's. So brothers and sisters, if your life does not look different, then maybe you're not fully repenting of your sin. Maybe you need to acknowledge the ways that you are really attached to sin, really caught up in an addiction or a serious habitual sin. Maybe you still have attachments to earthly things, ways that other people perceive you, ways that other people think of you, whatever it may be. And I just want to encourage you to let go of those things. I mean, like, when people give in to the sin of drinking alcohol, there's this saying, like, you're letting go of your inhibitions. When we give in to consuming the Holy Spirit and that sober intoxication of the Spirit, we need to give away our inhibitions at the same time, in the same vein, but for different purposes. To not be so worried about what other people think, to not be so concerned about our self-image or what's cool or appropriate, but to just totally give ourselves over to the will of God and to the gifts of the Holy Spirit and use all that we've been given to glorify Him. To be fools for Christ, because it says in Scripture, God chose the foolish of the world to shame the wise. That we will be completely given over to the Lord, even if it looks like total idiocy and drunkenness to the world. We know that we are animated and intoxicated by an incredible Holy Spirit that has changed our life and continues to change our lives. That we have been changed by Jesus Christ, that we have been changed by baptism and the salvation that He won for us. And that our lives should look different. Our behavior should change, our speech, the way we carry ourselves, the things that we do and don't do. In the same way, a person who consumes too much alcohol is completely altered in their behavior and their speech, and it's obvious to everyone else. The person who consumes the Holy Spirit should be completely altered in every way. Their behavior, their speech, the way they carry themselves, it should be obvious to those around them. And it may result in the same ridicule and the same type of jokes and the same type of image. But It is a profound spiritual gift and a beautiful opportunity to allow the Lord to use us as his vessels when we give in to the Holy Spirit. So we must have self-control for those things that lead to debauchery, as St. Paul says, but we should enter in to the things of the Spirit with the same reckless abandon that we may have a tendency to do with sin, to turn away from sin and to give ourselves completely over to the Lord in complete celebration and what might look like foolishness. I mean, Paul goes on to say, address each other in hymns and spiritual songs, singing and playing to the Lord in your hearts, like having this exuberant playfulness that bursts out in song because of our love for the Lord. That's the type of attitude and behavior that comes from people who experience sober intoxication in the Holy Spirit. It's not that out there of a concept. It is right in Scripture. The apostles were perceived that way from the moment the Holy Spirit came upon them. And so it should be no different for us. So let us throw our inhibitions to the wind in good ways and give in to the Holy Spirit so that profoundly beautiful things can happen in our lives and in the lives of those that we minister to, that we serve, that the Lord leads before us, and all those that our lives touch. That is all I have for you this week, my brothers and sisters. Until next time, I will see you in the Eucharist. God bless.